الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama Ikram, most respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters, and those who may be listening over receivers or streaming. Before we commence the bayan itself, I thought it would be appropriate, since the topic of discussion is loving our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we implement one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make amal and practice upon one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one teaching of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which it was mentioned. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one narration that the person who listens to the adhan and repeats the words of the adhan and thereafter he recites the dua, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamma was salati al-qa'ima ati muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila وبعثه المقام المحمود الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever will recite this dua, وجبت له شفاعتي. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, then my intercession on behalf of that person becomes compulsory, becomes wajib. Some ulama kiram have explained that in this is a little secret, a little promise that inshallah the person who practices on this hadith and regularly, then there is great hope that this person will pass away with iman. One of the greatest concerns, worries and fikr of especially the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the walis of Allah, is that they always had this one concern that, Ya Allah, I will only be successful if I leave this world in the condition that I am a mu'min and a believer. Because there is a narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which it is mentioned that sometimes a person, his entire life, he conducts himself in a way that outwardly makes it appear that this person is successful. And then at the last few moments of the person's life, that person utters a statement, and for some reason or the other person is deprived and he passes away in a condition that iman has been snatched away from the person. May Allah protect us. In fact, it is one of the signs of qiyamah that yusbihu ar-rajul mu'mina wa yumsi kafira, That hadith goes on that a person will wake up in the morning, but by the evening, close to Qiyamah, the condition will be such that when a person wakes up in the morning, then by the evening, he would have lost his iman. And sometimes a person will start the evening, and by the morning, the person will have lost his iman. And Nabi Kareem Sahasam then expounded that that person will sell his iman for the sake of this material world. May Allah protect us. So it shows that a person can lose his iman, that iman is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the contrary, a person can pass his entire life as a disbeliever. There is one incident that comes to my mind, which I heard from my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, in which he mentioned that there was a girl in the madrasa whose mother, whose grandmother was quite ill, and she was in the hospital and she was going to see her grandmother on a daily basis, and she would give her grandmother encouragement. It just so happened that the bed adjacent to her belonged to, or there was a Christian elderly lady that was there. So this lady started talking to her and said that, you know, I hear you speaking about your Creator and your God. Can you tell me a little bit about Islam? So this girl continued to consult with the late Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Maulana continued to guide her, and she started explaining and so on, until eventually she said, I want to become a Muslim. Maulana then guided her through the entire process of how to make her a Muslim. And mashallah, she recited the Shahada. She was approximately in her 70s. But the amazing thing was, 4 hours after she recited the Shahada, she passed away. Now, Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah explained that, imagine this woman for 70 years, not one salah, not one fast in the month of Ramadan, neither did she go for Hajj. But in the last 4 hours of her life, Allah Ta'ala blessed her with Iman, and Al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qablahu. Nabi Kareem Sahasam said that when a person accepts Islam, it obliterates and wipes out whatever sin the person may have committed. That is why the Ahlullah and the friends of Allah Ta'ala, they are never proud and arrogant. No matter how much praises are flowered upon them, and no matter how much of flattering and praises they hear, it doesn't really affect their heart. Because they say to themselves within their hearts, I don't know what will my condition be at the last few moments of my life. Yes, if I recite the Shahada and if I pass away in a condition that Allah is pleased with me, then I can really rejoice. How fortunate Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahmatullahi was that in the last few moments of his life, raising his hands in front of Kaabatullah Sharif on the Mataf at the time of Maghrib Salah, when du'as are accepted, in that condition he passed away. So this is a sign of acceptance. So therefore, in this hadith, a person who makes amal and he continuously practices on this, because we're looking for ways in which we can secure our akhirah, we can secure our Jannah. Nabi Kareem Sahasam's intercession is compulsory on that person. Ulama explained that Rasulullah Sahasam will not intercede on behalf of a disbeliever. And the fact that intercession is compulsory for the individual is an indication that inshallah the person will pass away with Iman. May Allah grant us tawfiq to make amal. Going to the actual topic of discussion, respected elders and brothers, it is a very vast topic. And especially for an individual, we don't have that kind of knowledge. But the person who really possesses the knowledge of and the understanding of Islam and the understanding of the importance of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he requires an extensive amount of time to cover certain aspects of this topic. And perhaps we will say that even if a person has to continue for a period of time discussing this topic and discussing the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then perhaps we will say that he has just scratched the tip of an iceberg. How vast is the topic and how important is this aspect of developing that ish and that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This has been established in many verses of the Quran Majeed, in many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The verse of the Quran Majeed will commence with, and we will give the gist of that verse, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, say, O Muhammad, that if your parents, your children, your wife, and Allah ta'ala elaborates a number of things, your business in which you fear that you will suffer a loss, your homes, in other words, everything in this world that is material and may be beloved to us, we may have some form of attachment. If these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait for the punishment of Allah to come upon us. From this we understand how important it is to ensure that the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the love of Allah is always dominant. One alim explained it very beautifully, that you need to have 51% love. So we don't need to negate the love for our wealth. If a person likes his watch, he likes his car, he likes his home, so we will not say that this person is committing a sin. It is natural. Allah Ta'ala has created within the heart of the person that he has got love for the things of this world. But he should ensure that the love of these things is not such that it supersedes the love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So from this we understand that the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is something which has been commanded, encouraged. It, in fact, it is a maqsood and an objective. As Shaqim Akhtar sahab mentioned, sharte tawheed kamil yahi hai, aapka ishq ho qalb o jaan hai. That the condition of tawheed and the condition of our iman is this, that the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the love of Rasulullah should be firmly entrenched in our hearts. May Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, None of you can be a true believer hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi, until I am more beloved to him than his own children. I am more beloved to him than his own parents. And I am more beloved to him than all of man together put together. From this again we understand that loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is something that even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that your iman cannot be perfected until you have such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that it overpowers and supersedes the love of everything else in this world. And to understand love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we need to study the lives of the Sahaba Ikram and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This will inspire us. There is an anecdote that has been mentioned of one great Buzruk and Wali, and we know that those who are regarded as the friends of Allah, then we will always find that one salient feature in their lives is that they were ardent lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this thought crossed his mind that, you know, perhaps I have got more ishq and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam than even the companions of Rasulullah. That thought crossed his mind. That very night he fell off to sleep and he saw in a dream that he was on an ox wagon, and this wagon had four wheels, and he was seated on this ox wagon in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and together with that he saw the four companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, and Hazrat Ali karramallahu wajha radiyallahu anhu. He saw them seated on this ox wagon, and as it continued to move, it suddenly became dislodged from the animals that were pulling it, until this wagon began to move on its own. And then suddenly it came to a edge of a cliff and it started going down, gaining momentum and picking up tremendous amount of speed without anything pulling it. So he immediately said that, you know, we rather jump off this wagon now, otherwise if it's going to pick up more speed, we may injure ourselves, we may even lose our lives. He said, he just uttered the statement, it was a dream, he just uttered the statement, and to his amazement, these four companions of Rasulullah immediately bent over and used their heads to stop the wheels of this carriage. He woke up from his dream, and then he realized the mistake that he made, that the thought crossed his mind that perhaps you have got more love for Rasulullah than the companions of Rasulullah. The companions of Rasulullah were such ashiks of Rasulullah, such lovers of Rasulullah, that they were prepared to sacrifice that which was most beloved to them, their very lives. And they did it. How many incidents, the books of history, a person, if he has to read those stories and really ponder and think, then the person will cry and cry. And we are totally indebted to the Sahaba and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The battle of Uhud. Just picture this. Suddenly Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being attacked from all sides, and the arrows are being shot at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a massive effort being made to injure Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the very companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam form a human shield protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using their very bodies.
until one Sahabi's hand becomes paralyzed, another Sahabi loses his life, Hazrat Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu loses his teeth, all this in the defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous incident of Hazrat Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu, who was captured after the battle of Badr, and he became the personification of the revenge of the mushrikeen against the Muslims, and they began to torture him and cut him piece by piece. In this condition, Abu Sufyan, who at that time was not a Muslim, he said, "Do you not wish that the Nabi of Allah was in your place and you could be safe and sound?" In that condition, while being mutilated, he said, "I'm not even prepared to allow a thorn to pick Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I must be safe and sound." It is easy for us to make those claims while we're sitting in our comfort zones. But that was a real statement in that condition, knowing very well that soon I'm going to be losing my life. But even in that condition, this is the kind of ishq that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the statement that was made when the mushrik had looked at this scene where the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were thronging around him, not even allowing the water of his wudu to touch the ground, he said, "Ma ra'aytu ahadan ahabba ahadan ka hubbi ashabi Muhammadin Muhammada." I have never seen anyone. I've traveled to the very corners of the then known world. I've seen the rulers of the time. I've never seen a group of people loving an individual like how the companions of Muhammad loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, if we study the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we find that they had such deep-hearted love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not only those who were close, and not only the elderly sahaba, the young ones, the women folk had such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many incidents. Time does not permit us to go into every single incident, but one incident has such an impact on the heart. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us. Similarly, we find that the friends of Allah, the muhaddithin, the mufassireen, the commentators of the Quran Majeed, those who were the narrators of the ahadith of Rasulullah, they had a tremendous amount of love for Rasulullah. It is known, mentioned about Imam Malik, it is one example. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he had such love for Madinatul Munawwara that at that time, you know, the boundaries of Madinah Sharif were much smaller than it is now. He would not even relieve himself within the boundaries of Madinatul Munawwara. He would move out of the boundaries and then he would relieve himself and then return back into Madinatul Munawwara. It is mentioned of some Ahlullah that when they would enter Madinatul Munawwara, they would remove their shoes. They said, "I don't feel it inappropriate to even walk in the city of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my shoes." And hence you will find that those who are the true friends of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and have this love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything that is related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes beloved to them. As Hazrat Shah ki Mukhtar Sahib, he mentioned, "Ke rang layengi kab meri aahe, phir Madine ki janib ko jaye." That the person who is a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the city of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes beloved to him. And there is this deep-hearted desire that when, "Ya Allah, when this call of mine and this pain of my pain of separation, when will it bear fruits? Ke phir Madine ki janib ko jaye," that once again I can go to the city of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, "Ke jab nazar aaye," and when Allah accepts my dua and I get the opportunity to go to Madina Sharif, "Ke jab nazar aaye wo sabz gumbad kehke salli ala jhum jaye," that when my gaze falls on that green dome, I go into a state of ecstasy. How the youngsters, when they're speaking to their beloved, they go into a different world. They don't even know what time it is. They're completely absorbed in that moment. Those who are ashiqs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they see that green dome, they become so absorbed, they go into a state of ecstasy, and automatically that durood and salawat goes onto their lips. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this aspect of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to become part and parcel of our very iman. We have to make an effort to develop the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how do we develop the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we haven't seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ulama-e-kiram explain that a person loves something for three reasons. It is either jamal, kamal, or nawal, meaning that that particular item is very beautiful. It is attractive. The person likes the car because it is attractive. He likes the house because it is beautiful. It is attractive. The women folk like that jewelry because it is attractive. Or we find that it has got kamal, it was some level of perfection, that this thing has been made in such a good manner. There's so many good qualities that's related to this particular item or this particular, you know, technique that is being implemented in a business. So there's kamal in it, there's perfection in it. And finally, there is what we term as nawal, that this person, I am indebted to this person because of his favors upon me. Sometimes the person's grandfather now is very old, the beauty is not there, and perhaps the person has got weaknesses, bad character, whatever it may be. But when the person looks at this grandfather of his or the father of his, he thinks to himself that whatever it may be, but my father has made sacrifices, and today because of his sacrifices I am where I am. And because of that you love the person. If we study the life of Rasulullah SAW, then we will find that each and every aspect, whether it is the kamal of Rasulullah SAW, whether it is the jamal of Rasulullah SAW, whether it is the nawal of Rasulullah SAW, it was at his highest level. If we just touch on each aspect in the few minutes that we have, the jamal of Rasulullah SAW. Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he says that وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَدْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. The gist of this, that oh my Nabi, that no one is more beautiful than you. No woman has given birth to a person that's more beautiful than you. One Sahabi says, I was looking at the full moon and I was sitting in the majlis of Rasulullah SAW, and I was trying to compare whether the full moon is more beautiful or the radiant face, Mubarak face of my Rasul SAW. He said, I was convinced that the Mubarak face of my Rasul SAW is far more beautiful and attractive than the full moon. So even the beauty of Rasulullah SAW was at its perfection. If we study the kamal of Rasulullah SAW, the perfection in terms of the character of Rasulullah SAW, in terms of the kindness, the generosity, the sincerity, the sacrifice, then every aspect, there was perfection in Rasulullah SAW. Time will not permit. But if we want to understand the character of a person, then you ask those who are closest, especially the wife. The wife will know the person's character the best. Look at the wives of Rasulullah SAW. When Nabi Kareem SAW returned from Ghar Hira, the first verses of Quran and Majid were revealed. He said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. He was shivering in this condition. That cover me. And then he said, I'm going to be destroyed. What was the answer of Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu anha? She said, Kalla wallahi, never, by the qasam of Allah, you will never be destroyed. And then she continues to recount the wonderful character of Rasulullah SAW, that you are that individual who sees to the needy, who works for the orphans, who has a kind heart, elaborating, giving the gist of that. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was a younger wife. She said, Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. The gist of that the horizon has got a sun, and we have also got a sun. The sun of the horizon rises in the morning, but our sun rises when my Nabi enters my home. So this was what a beautiful testament to the kamal of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it was the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can continue. And then if you look at the nawal, the sacrifices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for us, for which we are indebted. Just prior to coming for Jummah, I came across one hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for her, that Allahumma ghfir li Aisha ma taqaddama min dhanbiha wa ma ta'akhkhar. That oh Allah, forgive the sins of Aisha, her past sins and her future sins, those sins which she committed openly or secretly. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha becomes very, very happy, and she said, oh, are you pleased? She said, who will not be pleased with such a dua? And her condition was this, that she had her head on the Mubarak lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Aisha, I make this dua for my ummah after every single salah, every single day. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forget you and I. How fortunate we are to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Continue. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith said that every single Nabi has been given a dua that will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala 100% guaranteed. I'm giving the gist of the hadith. He said, I have kept this dua for the day of Qiyamah, where I will use this dua so that every last ummati of mine can get entry into Jannah. When every single Nabi on the day of Qiyamah, who is a person of sublime conduct, who has been selected by Allah Ta'ala, the cream of the crop, on the day of Qiyamah, his condition will be this, that even a mother will abandon her child تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها. That even that mother who is suckling her child will abandon the child when the condition is just that the mother has the closest bond at that time. Look at the example that Allah has given. Every Nabi will say, when he will be asked to intercede on behalf, he said, Nafsi, Nafsi, I am worried about myself. But on that day of Qiyamah, our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will forget himself and say, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati. Hence, respected elders and brothers, we are the nawal and the ihsan and the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that it is greater than even the kindness that our parents have given to us. Therefore, just as a person loves his parents or grandparents or family members, our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be at its highest level. Now, how do we develop this love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What we can start doing is every single day recite durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least 100 times. And this 100 times you don't have to do in one sitting. As you're walking, you are going to work, recite durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person should try and implement in his daily a list of activities. Some time of the day, whether it is at the time when you're going to sleep, get an authentic book on the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will create a love within the heart. Similarly, a person should make an effort to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that if you claim to love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow the Nabi of Allah. Hence one poet, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, says very beautifully, نَقْشِ قَدَمْ نَبِي كَهَ جَنَّتْ كَ رَاسْتَ Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. That in emulating the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is actually the pathway to Jannah. And it will link you to Allah. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. So every day a person tries to implement one teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life. Small teaching, big teaching, whether it is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is the honesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is the way of speaking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we try and implement it in our lives. Together with that, those who Allah has blessed with sufficient wealth, we make an intention that we will go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith said, من زارني بعد وفاتي فكأنما زارني في حياتي. That the person who visits me after my demise, it is as if he has visited me whilst I am alive. It is our aqidah and belief that Allah has given Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a life at the Rawdah Mubarak. Therefore, when a person presents himself at the Rawdah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person goes with a great amount of awe and respect that how fortunate am I to be presenting myself in front of the Rawdah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for those who do not have sufficient wealth or unable to go, then it is better that your heart is attached to Rawdah Mubarak even though your body is very, very far. Otherwise, sometimes a person is standing right at the Rawdah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his heart is not there. His mind is somewhere else. And on the other hand, the person did never ever had the opportunity to go to Medina. But his heart was always attached to Medina, to Munawwara. We will say that this person is qareeb, even though he is very far. He is near and close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though bodily he is very, very far. Therefore, in conclusion, respected elders and brothers, we should make a tremendous effort to try and develop the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by considering the jamal, the kamal, the nawal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the perfection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon each and every one of us for which we are indebted. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates within our hearts that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah ta'ala counts us to be amongst those fortunate ones who will be at the Hawdhul Kawthar, that well of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein we will receive that cup, that special water directly from the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala make each and every one of us from those fortunate ones. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.